Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the Tech Loft podcast. Before I begin, I just want to remind everyone that you can subscribe to this podcast on all the popular podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, all the finest podcast providers. You will find the Tech Loft podcast there. So let's get on with the show. We've got some PS4 news, Nintendo news, and as well as some other technology headlines that caught my eye that I just wanted to share. So let's get right into it. Let's start off with PS4 news. So Rocket League players can now battle each other regardless of the system they're playing on. Yes, cross-platform play is available on the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Windows PC, Xbox One, all for the game Rocket League. So developer Psyonix rolled out cross-platform play support for the vehicle soccer game across Nintendo Switch, PS4, Windows PC, and Xbox One. Psyonix and Sony added Rocket Leagues to PS4 crossplay beta program just last week, an initiative that launched in September, in large part thanks to Fortnite and player outcry. Yes, Fortnite players were pretty pissed when Sony said no to cross-platform play. But cross-platform play is now available in all of Rocket League's online match types, including casual, competitive, and extra modes. Cross-platform play is enabled by default, but here's how you can make sure you have it switched on, according to Psyonix. Head to the main menu, select options, and then make sure the cross-platform play box is checked in the gameplay tab. And that's all there is to it. You are now ready to play against gamers on other platforms across the world. That's pretty exciting stuff. Psyonix said it plans to release cross-platform party support as part of Rocket League's first update for 2019. Details on that update are forthcoming, but Psyonix said it would let players, and I quote, partner up with friends on any platform with the push of a few buttons. Additionally, should you want to play with friends on other platforms before cross-platform parties release, you can just select play from the main menu, then private match, followed by create or join private match, and you're set from there. Cross-play for Rocket League on PS4 has been a long-standing player request. Other platforms have supported cross-platform support, but Sony has been a notorious holdout, with the exception of letting PS4 players matchmake with PC players. Psyonix hinted that it was working to bring PS4 into the fold last fall after Sony opened up its console to cross-platform play. Well, exciting stuff. I think I should fire up my Rocket League copy. I do have it. It was, and I believe I got it because it was a free, I think it was a free PlayStation Plus game available during a month. I can't remember when. So I do have it, and I should get back on there, see if I can challenge some of my friends that are only on Xbox. So let's move on. Now, PS4 sales are approaching 100 million units sold worldwide. So this is pretty exciting stuff for Sony shareholders. Sony has announced that it has sold 91.6 million PS4 consoles worldwide overall. The tech giant sold 18 million PS4 units over the past 12 months, with 5.6 million of those sold during the holiday season alone, from November 19th to December 31st. Despite a prediction by Sony gaming chief John Kodra earlier this year that console sales should begin to slow down because the PS4 was reaching its saturation point. Those numbers are a bit lower than the 20.2 million units Sony was able to move in 2017, but they're not bad at all for a console that's been around for over 5 years. PS4 games also did very well over the holidays. Sony says 50.7 million PS4 titles were sold during the season, bringing the total sales to 864 million as of December 31st, 2018. Marvel Spider-Man, a game that I'm still I still don't have in my collection, in particular, was a standout title. It sold over 9 million copies from its launch in September until November 25th. So, PlayStation 4, pretty good. Good numbers, really happy for them. But, you know, it is winding down, and there are rumors of the next-gen consoles coming up sometime, probably next year, 2020. So we'll get, I'm sure we'll hear more on that. But a little applause from myself to Sony. I do like Sony. I've had Sony since PlayStation 1. I just want to share that bit of information. Now, next, and the last piece of PlayStation news that we have is something regarding the PlayStation Virtual Reality. So, for those of you that have the VR kit, there is an upgrade for PR game virtual reality games. It's a piece of hardware. It's called the 3D Rudder, and it's a motion controller for PSVR that handles movement through your feet. It weighs less than 4 pounds, and using it requires effortless movements. Just tilt the device, spin it, or press your feet to trigger actions. So while you're sitting, you've got this ball with a like a saucer sticking out of the side to place your feet, and you just swivel and tilt and push to help you move around in the VR world, and more details, I'm sure, are coming soon as well. Now, let's move on to some Nintendo news. Always a little special place in my heart for Nintendo. Now, for Switch users, there has been a GameCube dock that has been released, and it looks pretty good. Not only that, it also has working controller ports. So the DIY project made by Reddit user LittleWolf128 features a modded GameCube that works as a Nintendo Switch dock. Taking things a step further, the makeshift dock also includes working GameCube controller ports. Given that Nintendo's Smash Bros. Franchise and the GameCube's famous controllers have gone hand in hand since the classic system's first release back in 2002, this will likely come as good news anyone who recently picked up Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for the Switch. Of course, you can always pick up one of the various options out there that will allow you to plug classic GameCube controllers into the Switch, or even just a version of the controller that's compatible with the Switch, but what fun would that be? So, keeping with Nintendo, but this time the mobile gaming industry, earlier this month, Nintendo president Shuntaro Furukawa discussed how the company's focus could shift away from home consoles in the future. Some assume that this was the result of the moderate success Nintendo has experienced in the mobile space. While there is likely at least some truth to this theory, in a recent interview with Japanese publication Kyoto Shimbun, translated by Nintendo Everything, Furukawa says the company has no plans to work solely on smartphone games. Now, I quote Furukawa here, saying, "We don't intend for Switch games to play like smartphone games or vice versa. Our goal is to get people interested in Nintendo's characters and increase our fan base." Furukawa then went on to state that Nintendo plans to release 2 to 3 mobile games per year. The Japanese gaming giant's current mobile titles include Super Mario Run, Fire Emblem Heroes, Dragalion Lost, and Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Back in January 2018, Nintendo revealed plans to bring the Mario Kart series to Android and iOS with Mario Kart Tour. And I'm really excited for that. That may be a mobile game that I may shell out some dough for. I don't buy mobile games. It's super, super rare that I do. But for Mario Kart, oh man, hopefully it plays well on the mobile, on a mobile device, and I may just buy it. And that's it. Nintendo is going to be releasing some more mobile games. And that's all the news I have for Nintendo. Now, let's move on to some other tech news. This is going to be, jumping here and there and everywhere. Apple announced that it's going to be moving towards OLED screens in 2020. So Apple could drop LCDs from the iPhone line next year, according to a new report from the Wall Street Journal. If not altogether surprising, it's a revelation is buried in a piece about a Japanese supplier's struggles in the wake of disappointing iPhone XR sales. The news, which comes courtesy of people familiar with this matter, makes sense as prices for the display technology should drop, making it more attainable for more people. Whether Apple is giving up on the budget take on its flagship remains to be seen, but the XR appears not to have gotten the reception the company was banking on. Well, I didn't think it was a big deal, personally. Apple has downplayed any disappointment, noting that the cheaper handset, starting at $250 less than the XS, has been the, and I quote, most popular iPhone, end quote, since going on sale in October. But handset sales are ebbing across the board, a phenomenon that's hardly specific to Apple. Besides, moving to a higher-end technology across the board is just part of the inevitable march of progress, though the company is still expected to release an LCD sporting successor to the XR later this year. A number of competitors, meanwhile, will be dipping their toes into the foldable display waters in 2019, though that technology isn't expected to go fully mainstream anytime soon. 2020 will also reportedly be the year Apple makes the move to a 5G iPhone. Hopefully they can hide that massive antenna inside the phone and not make it protrude out like how I reported a couple episodes ago, where the iPhone or the antenna for 5G enabled phones actually stick out of the phone. So I don't think, Apple likes to make everything aesthetically pleasing, good, looks good to the eye, slick. They may not be going 5G anytime soon. Well, at least this year. We'll see about next year. And now we have some news regarding Facebook's WhatsApp Messenger. The Messenger service is globally limiting the number of times a user can forward a message to just 5 recipients. This is a bid to fight, and I quote, misinformation and rumors. Victoria Grand, Vice President for Policy and Communications at WhatsApp, said at an event at the Indonesian capital, "We're imposing a limit of 5 messages all over the world as of today." It goes on to saying that previously, a WhatsApp user could forward a message to 20 individuals or groups. The 5 recipient limit expands globally, a measure WhatsApp put into place in India in July after the spread of rumors on social media led to killings and lynching attempts. WhatsApp, which has around 1.5 billion users, has been trying to find ways to stop misuse of the app, following global concern that the platform was being used to spread fake news, manipulated photos, videos without context, and audio hoaxes, with no way to monitor their origin or full reach. I mean, listen, I use WhatsApp to forward images and stuff, but I send it to people that I know. Are there people out there that are just randomly forwarding fake news articles to people? Anyways, I find this, I don't agree with this limit. I don't know what they're trying to do, but WhatsApp will roll out an update to activate the new forward limit starting Monday. That's yesterday, the 20th. Android users will receive the first update followed by users of Apple's iOS. And there you have it, folks. Sounds like a bit of censoring and controlling and all that stuff. And finally, to close off the episode, the last piece of news I've got is regarding Google Maps. Google Maps now helps you dodge speeding tickets while driving. So this is a feature, I guess it is taken from Waze, but it now shows you speed limits and speed traps while you're driving in several countries around the world. Google started testing this feature a couple years ago, but only in the San Francisco Bay Area and Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Now it's expanding, this service to both Android and iOS. It's always useful to be able to see speed limits at a glance when you're driving, especially when you're using unfamiliar roads. It's even better when you get a warning for upcoming speed traps. Now, Google Maps can provide you with both. Users across the US and UK and other countries are discovering that the world's biggest navigation app just got two big features that were sorely missed. Several users in several U.S. states reported to Android Police that, the website, that they were seeing speed limits and trap warnings inside the Maps app, and Mashable later confirmed the rollout with Google. Speed limits are displayed at the bottom corner of the app while you're driving, while pop-ups and audible warnings will notify you when you're approaching a speed trap. You will also see camera icons along your route to show speed trap locations. Speed limits will be displayed for Maps users in the US, UK, and Denmark, while trap warnings are available in the US, the UK, Australia, Russia, Brazil, Mexico, Canada, India, and Indonesia. It's pretty surprising that it took so long for Google to bring these features to Maps, especially when you consider that they were a staple of Waze, the navigation app Google acquired for around $1 billion way back in 2013. The update means that those who still relied on a dedicated satellite navigation system for speed limits and trap warnings can finally switch to using their smartphone instead. Well, I'm definitely going to try this out. I know I tried Waze for a little bit. Now, the thing about Waze, and probably this is, it all requires user input to notify you where there is a speed trap. So it's kind of tough when you're driving and you're not supposed to have your hands on your phone, eyes on the road. And I don't know how you're supposed to get that information quick enough. You're going to have to glance away from the road to your phone and somehow punch in that there is a speed trap near your location. I'm going to try it out definitely to see if it is a quick way of adding speed trap information to the app, because like I said, it's all probably based on user input that feeds the system. But this is great news that I'm definitely going to try out. Anyways, folks, that's our episode for this week, January 21st, 2019. Hopefully you enjoyed. It was a super long episode, a lot of details, a lot of information. For those of you that have enjoyed this podcast and maybe found this somewhere on the interweb, you can subscribe to this podcast. Let me remind you again, it is called The Tech Loft, and you can find it on your favorite podcast platforms, from Apple to Google to Stitcher to TuneIn and Spotify. We're all there. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions or concerns or like to write into the show, please follow us on Twitter. Use the hashtag, use the handle @TheTechLoft, and you can hashtag us any questions or information. Thank you for joining me this week, and hopefully you'll hear from us next time. Thanks for joining, and ciao for now.